Welcome to the 20th edition of What Would You Do? NBA offseason edition for this team that we'll be discussing in their offseason moves. That team is the Orlando Magic. And before we get into the Orlando Magic, let's first shout out some of our stuff that we do good work on. So, Caleb, where can the listeners find out all of your great work that you do?
Man, you can find me on Instagram at Caleb at my bad podcast. Let me get right. You can find me on Instagram at 1CalebConnet. You can find me on Twitter at CalebConnet2. Click the link in the bio. You can find other things too, my writings, MCS Real Sports Podcast, Jewels and Gems Podcast, Change the Narrative on Instagram. And you know, hey, when you're listening, make sure you rate us. Make sure you subscribe. And make sure you tell a friend, really. Just tell a friend. Send this podcast to a friend. That's all.
Definitely send it out. Get our names out there. And to find my information, my Twitter is at @Matt_Skura. My Instagram is at @Matt_Skura19. Check out this podcast. We're available pretty much everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're available everywhere. And with that being said, let's get into the offseason moves that the Orlando Magic made. The Orlando Magic had a typical Orlando Magic season. They qualified for the bubble, made it to the playoffs, did take game one against Milwaukee, but proceeded to lose the next four straight and get bounced in the first round. They basically had more losses than gains. Their free agent losses, they lost a longtime NBA veteran, DJ Augustine. They also lost Wesley Owundu, Melvin Frazier, and BJ Johnson as their main losses in the offseason. But for free agency, their main acquisition, you ready for this, people? Dwayne Bacon, real difference maker of a free agent signing. Caleb, with the Orlando Magic offseason, more losses than gains, their main big free agent signing was Dwayne Bacon. What kind of message does that send to where the Orlando Magic are situated?
Man, I'm getting mixed feelings from them because last year they were in the playoffs, last 2 years, actually. In the last 2 years, every time they get that 8th seed, they always seem to win game one or win a game in the series at least, or at least give teams a run for their money. So this is kind of showing me, giving me their direction of they're trying to scout out the young guys and possibly head towards a rebuild. I think head towards a rebuild, definitely, just because they don't have enough. Dwayne Bacon, you know, great addition. Hope to see him get on the floor. He wasn't able to get on the floor too much in Charlotte. So hopefully he can get on the floor here and really showcase his skills. But this free agent signing as a whole is just giving me rebuild vibes, you know? What do you think?
I truly agree with you as well. I think the moves that the Orlando Magic have made kind of does give rebuild vibes. But if you're going to go for rebuild vibes, then why would Orlando a year or two ago sign Nikola Vucevic to that big contract if you're going to go for a rebuild? So my opinion, if I'm Orlando, I don't know what Orlando is doing. I mean, they've let a lot of key veteran pieces walk. They made some interesting trades. And, you know, they're probably a team where they're probably stuck in the past and say, hey, we can just throw up a kind of roster that we have and expect to make the playoffs. But the Eastern Conference is much stronger this year than in years past. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Orlando Magic are going to shape up in the Eastern Conference for this upcoming 2020-2021 NBA season. But let's move on to their biggest draft piece that they were able to select. One of the smart moves the Orlando Magic made in the offseason, with the 15th pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Orlando Magic selected Cole Anthony, point guard out of North Carolina. Caleb, when you saw the Orlando Magic draft Cole Anthony, what were your thoughts on that draft pick?
Man, honestly, I think they got him because at the time he was the best on the board. And then I was looking at the pick and I was like, yeah, that's a great pick. That's a great pick. They needed a point guard who could shoot the ball. And in the preseason, he's doing all of that, scoring from mid-range, just looking like himself. He was back in high school. He was projected to be like a top five pick when it was his turn to get drafted, and he fell really low. So he might have that MPJ effect, you know? And I'm sure, you know, I heard it was injuries back in college that kind of, you know, hindered him. But I'm glad overall the Magic took him, because at the end of the day, that's going to help him. You know, where they got him at, too, was a steal, definitely. Because a lot of teams passed on him. And, I mean, obviously he still has to prove himself. But, I mean, from what I'm seeing now and what I know, he's the bucket.
Yeah, you definitely make a lot of great points there. I love your Michael Porter Jr. analogy, because you made a lot of great points. Michael Porter Jr., it was a fact. If he was fully healthy, I believe he came out of that 2018 draft class. If he was fully healthy, he probably would have went top five on the board. But because of all the injury concerns, he fell down to Denver to, I believe, the 14th pick, and they were able to snag a steal, and he could potentially be Denver's future starter. This has the same kind of feeling that Orlando has with Cole Anthony. My real interesting thing is they already had a point guard in Markelle Fultz. Does that mean Orlando doesn't trust Markelle Fultz to be a starter, or are they going to try to experiment, maybe have Markelle Fultz run the point and Cole Anthony be more of a point guard, shooting guard type of position? That to me is the interesting thing about this pick.
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's a really good question, bro. And I can honestly tell you, I don't know. Like, I really don't know how to feel. I just think they're going to sit back and watch. Maybe with that situation, I think time will tell everything, you know, as far as how the new coach uses him. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know about that move. That's definitely a good question.
Yeah, I think in my humble opinion, it kind of puts Markelle Fultz on the hot seat to kind of play slightly better or to improve his game. Because, I mean, we're seeing Cole Anthony in the preseason, and he's been looking good in the preseason. I must say I'm very impressed with what he was able to do, you know, in the preseason so far to this point. And you were correct. When he came out of high school, he was one of the top prospects in this upcoming draft. A lot of people, you know, before the season took place, a lot of people thought, okay, it was probably going to be Anthony Edwards, probably going to be James Wiseman, probably going to be LaMelo Ball, and then Cole Anthony right up in the mix. But because of his injuries that he had in North Carolina, missed 11 games, that was a very big concern for a lot of teams. And you were correct. Then the Orlando Magic getting Cole Anthony at the 15th pick was definitely the best available. And I think for Orlando, they found themselves a gem. And this could definitely be, in my opinion, a make or break player. You know, this could be a guy who can keep on playing how he's playing in the preseason and, you know, eventually be a starter. Or this could be a guy to where, you know, he's just taking advantage of the moment and then eventually slips off. You know, I think it's going to be interesting with how Orlando, per se, you know, handles the Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz situation. Will we see them both starting at the same time? Will we see maybe Cole Anthony run the point and have Markelle Fultz be more off the ball? Or are we potentially seeing to where, hey, Cole Anthony, you're going to be the starter. Markelle Fultz, you're going to be our sixth man, because we don't think you're starting caliber because you don't have a jump shot, but we think you can run the second unit as more of a sixth man. So that's going to be the interesting thing. I kind of want to see how Orlando handles that. You know, how are they going to handle, you know, the two point guard situation? Because we've seen throughout the league, I mean, there's pretty much people know their place. Like, for example, our favorite team, the LA Lakers, we have a set in stone point guard in Dennis Schroeder, who we know is going to start. And we have a reliable guy that could come off the bench.
Yeah.
For the Orlando Magic, it's kind of a situation to where you took a chance on Markelle Fultz, I believe last year or 2 years ago, and he's done. And it looked like he was bouncing back. It looked like he was gaining confidence, gaining form. But then you pull this pick with the 15th pick, and it's a great player. You know, I'm not knocking Cole Anthony as a player. I'm just saying, if you're Orlando, you just recently made a move to get Markelle Fultz, and you're already drafting what could be his replacement. Does that mean Orlando has just given up on Markelle Fultz, or are they just simply playing in the hands of, look, this is the best player available in the draft. We'll handle it for the season, and we'll see where it takes us.
I think they'll handle it in the future. Honestly, I think that's what they'll have to do. And I mean, handling it in the future kind of just is the same thing as seeing where it takes them, because time will tell, you know, with faults and odd things. I think they'll kind of just have to wait it out and basically handle it in the future and let time tell, you know. Well, how are you feeling about that situation? I kind of pose that question right back to you.
Man, I think how they handle the situation is they'll figure out, you know, who's the better starter. I think what we'll probably see out of Orlando is they'll play out the rest of this preseason, then, you know, normally. And then I think what they'll do is during the season, they'll have games where Cole Anthony starts, and then they'll have games where Markelle Fultz starts. And I think whoever has the better stats between those two, then I think that's when they'll decide who's a starter. Or maybe it could be a point where, like we've mentioned in other episodes beforehand, we've mentioned, you know, some veterans getting the starting role first, you know, partway through the season. And then around the trade deadline mark, then you flip it around to more of the younger piece and have him start because you know he's going to be more of the future of the team. I think this could be the situation to where Orlando might be. They might roll with Markelle Fultz for now. But if Markelle Fultz struggles, then you instantly put in Cole Anthony, because Cole Anthony this preseason has been balling out. So I think what they'll probably do for now is they'll probably start Fultz for now, but keep him on a short leash to where maybe if he has one bad game, maybe give him a slight warning. Like, hey, if you don't up your game, we got this young stud rookie, Cole Anthony, who could take your spot easily. If Markelle Fultz has, I'm sorry to interrupt. If Markelle Fultz has two or three bad games, that's when you'll probably see Cole Anthony going to be the starter of the team the rest of the season, and they'll probably look for trades for Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, you definitely don't have a bad point there with looking for trades. I just don't see them kind of giving up that spot to Cole Anthony so easy, just because I'm pretty sure Markelle Fultz is in his contract year, and they're probably going to, you know, let him get his time, because he's betting on himself. If he plays really good this year, he could get a good contract. If he doesn't play good, you know, a lot of organizations have leverage to lower his contract. So I think with that being said, you know, they'll give him time and see what he does with it. You know, that's why I say kind of handle it in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely make a lot of great points there. I loved how you mentioned they'll have Markelle Fultz play in his contract year. I think that changes everything. If Markelle Fultz would probably had 2 years left, I think that Orlando would approach it differently. But because you mentioned that Markelle Fultz is on his contract year, Orlando might take this season and say, hey, let's just have Markelle Fultz start. If we suck, we could get a high draft pick. And hey, if he does good and make the playoffs, that's fantastic, because that means we made the playoffs 3 straight years in a row. You know, don't matter if we lose in the first round. Teams are going to say, free agents are going to say, hey, this team has made to the playoffs 3 years in a row. Maybe I could be the missing piece to help elevate this team. Or, you know, it could be like I mentioned earlier, Markelle Fultz starts, wets the bed, doesn't do well. The team sucks. You get a top 5 pick. You can move on from Fultz, have your main man Cole Anthony start, and then you got a top 5 pick to draft another superstar to pair up with Cole Anthony. So Orlando is going to be in an interesting position. We'll definitely look forward to see how Orlando handles that point guard situation. But Orlando overall, it's going to be a very interesting season for them. And to close out this edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition featuring the Orlando Magic, let's discuss how we think they'll do this season. Caleb, the Orlando Magic 2 years in a row have made the playoffs and have been first-round exits. Can they continue that streak and make the playoffs another year, or will they fall short of making the playoffs?
Honestly, the East is deep, man. The East is deep. I think they fall short, bro. I think they fall short. The East has gotten a lot better. This is the first time in a minute that the bottom, you know, four in the East have really been getting a heavy look and taking it, getting a heavy look, really. So, I mean, most definitely, I think they fall out. The East is a tough conference now. So, the drought is just beginning for them.
Definitely great points that you made there. I have to agree with you as well. I think Orlando falls short. I think for the last 2 years, Orlando has got into the playoffs just because the Eastern Conference, that bottom half, was not good. I mean, the last 2 years, I think in the Eastern Conference, we pretty much had a feeling who would be kind of 1 through 5, 1 through 6, and then 7 and 8 was like, okay, let's throw in Orlando. Let's throw in, you know, Detroit when they're healthy. Let's just throw those two in just because they're our best shot. Now yeah. It's kind of, you look at this season, I mean, I could just name you off the teams that I think could make the playoffs before Orlando. You obviously got Milwaukee. You got Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie. You got the Boston Celtics. You got Toronto. You got Miami. Don't sleep on the Indiana Pacers. Right there, that's 6 teams.
And I think
is that 7?
I think so.
Yeah, hold on. Let me do a math here. Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Boston, Toronto, Miami, Indiana, and Philadelphia.
Atlanta.
And Atlanta, too. So right there, that's already 8. That's already 8 teams right there. And in the Eastern Conference, it's kind of you're either in or you're out. And Orlando, in my opinion, they're kind of in a place to where they're not going to make it. It's not like in years past where you could just slide into that 8 seed at, you know, maybe 39, 40 wins. No. This Eastern Conference now, you'll probably have to be at 500 or higher just to make it to the playoffs. You know, it's going to be a very competitive Eastern Conference for the first time, I honestly say, in a couple of years. You know, it's been a while since the Eastern Conference has been competitive. One, I mean, LeBron has pretty much ruled the Eastern Conference from his time in Cleveland, even in Miami, back to Cleveland. Until he moved to the Western Conference, he was pretty much the dominant ruler of the East, no matter what team he went to in the Eastern Conference. And now we're starting to kind of see the Eastern Conference open up. You know, we saw Miami do well in the Eastern Conference last year, make it to the NBA Finals. We see how good Milwaukee's capable of doing. We saw Toronto win a championship. You know, the Eastern Conference is wide open this season. And Orlando just doesn't make the playoff.
They don't. Unfortunately, they don't. But they do a lot of have a lot of trade pieces and a future to look forward to, for sure. Mm.
Yeah, and I also want to kind of see how Orlando will handle Mo Bamba. You know, people kind of forget, you know, Mo Bamba is that second center behind Vucevic. Could we possibly see Orlando go full rebuild, maybe move on from Vucevic, let Bamba start, and maybe he could be the starting center? You know, that's going to be the interesting thing on what the Orlando Magic have to do this season, because as Caleb and I both agree on, they're not going to be making the playoffs. They're probably going to be aiming more towards a rebuild and kind of looking into that 2021 NBA draft to try and get better and to try to build a more stable future.
True that. They have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they definitely have a lot of work to do. And with that, my friends, that will conclude the 20th edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition featuring the Orlando Magic. This is Matt Skura and my great friend Caleb Connett. We are signing out.